Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God and our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we praise thy great and holy name, for thou art worthy of all praise and adoration. Now, Father, we know that our feeble lips are not sufficient to praise thee as you are worthy, but we pray that you would give us of thy Holy Spirit that we might praise thee in an acceptable manner this day. And Father, we pray that you would bless those who are not able to attend your house today. Just touch with thy healing hand those that are sick and afflicted. We pray that you comfort those who mourn and just supply every need according to thy riches and glory. Now, Father, we pray for your kingdom in the earth and pray that you would bless your church wherever she's assembled together. We pray that there be a reviving of thy people, that we might be more faithful in our service unto thee. But Father, just now, bless the preaching of your word. Bless us to hear and understand your message and help us to apply these things to our lives that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive our sins and shortcomings, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite your attention this morning to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51, and I just want to begin by reading the first three verses. The writing of Isaiah has by some been called the Gospel of Isaiah because in his prophecies he speaks so plainly of many of the gospel messages, speaks of the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, speaks of Jesus Christ as being our sin bearer and that perfect sacrifice to God on our behalf. So there are many good doctrinal lessons, but there's also a lot of good practical lessons for us in this book. Isaiah chapter 51, beginning at verse 1, the prophet says, "Hearken unto me, that ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he shall comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So I've stated many times that in the writings of the prophets, the prophet was God's messenger to show the people their sins and call them to repentance. You never find a prophet coming to tell the people, "You're doing good, just keep up the good work." But it's always, "You've turned aside, you're going the wrong way, and you need to repent." In the first chapter of Isaiah, we have a vivid picture of the condition of Judah in that day. Now, let me just say this. The divided kingdom, when God's people were divided into the 10 tribes and then the 2 tribes, the northern kingdom, known as Israel, very quickly sank into idolatry. And they were always an idolatrous people. The kingdom of Judah more closely followed the Lord, but they were tended to idolatry at times, and they tried to serve the Lord and serve the gods of this world. So there was times when they walked in righteousness, but they were also in error many times. So this is speaking to the people of Judah. And Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of your foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. So we read words like that, and so many times we apply that to the nation in which we live. We compare that to the United States. But I think it is an error to do that, because God is speaking through the prophet to His people. He's speaking to the church. It's not about what's going on in the world. And I think church people today tend to think all the sin is out there somewhere, and God's going to judge that someday, and we just sit back and wait for Him to judge. But the Bible teaches us that judgment must begin at the house of God. We need to take these things to heart and know that He's talking about us. You know, I record and post these messages on Facebook, and that could be a wonderful medium. But I see people really putting their life out for everybody to see. And I see so many people that I know are professing Christians, and the activities they're involved in, sometimes it's shocking. And people are not ashamed to show that kind of lifestyle, and yet they claim to be followers of Jesus Christ and never realize how far away from God we all have turned. But notice in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, it said, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, ye should have been as Sodom, and ye should have been like unto Gomorrah." So God would have brought that kind of destruction on Israel and on Judah at that time had there not been a small remnant. And that's who God speaks the words of comfort. To those who are straying, those that He describes in the first portion here, He's warning them of judgment to come, and He's saying it would have already come had it not been for that remnant. But you know, there came a time when that remnant was so small and so insignificant that judgment finally came upon Judah, and they were carried away into captivity, and there for 70 years. I'm not going to turn and read the passage, but in Isaiah chapter 6, where the Isaiah sees that wonderful vision of the Lord, and the Lord, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speaking together, asks the question, "Whom shall we send, and who shall go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And the Lord gave him a message for the people, and Isaiah said, "Well, how long?" And God said, "Until the land is desolate, until the houses are empty, till there's no man to hear." In effect, what God was saying, they're not going to listen to you. Judgment is said, and it's coming. And I'm going to tell you that judgment is coming to the house of God. I believe we're already under God's judgment. And except there be that remnant that God sends messages of comfort and peace to. And we need to seek to be very sure that we are a part of that remnant. Now, let me just say this before I go on. When that judgment finally came, I'm convinced that there was still a remnant, still a believing and obedient people. But they went into bondage with everybody else. And they suffered loss. And not to the same degree. God took care of them even in bondage, but they went into captivity. So it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and we need to be mindful of that. Now, Isaiah 51, I understand this is the words of the prophet Isaiah, But remember, He is the spokesman for God. And He came to say, "Thus saith the Lord." He says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord," this faithful remnant, "listen to me." But I think he's saying, listen to what God is saying to us. There's so many messages out in the world today, so many people trying to lead us astray, and we need to listen to God through His Word. And when I speak to you, I trust and I pray that it is under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'm trying to tell you what God's Word says. But you have the responsibility of comparing what I say with this written Word and hear what God says. In the book of Colossians, in the second chapter, I want you to notice these words. And this is the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 2, and beginning at the first verse, he said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Now, Paul's great conflict, he's talking about a great burden he has. He sees the situation in the world, and he's deeply concerned for these people. I believe he's deeply in prayer for these people, and he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. He wants them to understand God's Word and what God is speaking to them. And he speaks of Christ, and he says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." In Paul's day, there were many who were trying to lead God's people astray, professing to be believers in Jesus Christ. Jews who said, "Yes, we believe in Jesus, but you've got to be circumcised." And there were those who were known as Gnostics that claimed to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they said, "We've got an inner light. We've got an enlightenment that you don't have. And if you'll come and join us, we'll give you this light." And Paul says, "I'm concerned lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." A lot of these messages sound good, but they're intended to draw us away from Jesus Christ. And the world's been pretty successful in many instances of drawing God's people away. But God, through Isaiah, is saying, "Listen to me and look as an example to Abraham. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed and increased him." When God speaks about Abraham, he of course was the father of the Jews, father of the faithful. But the message of the New Testament is that Abraham has a spiritual seed as well. And he tells us that if we are of faith, then we are Abraham's children. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, he said, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." So if we are of faith, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are the spiritual seed, the spiritual seed, children of Abraham, and inheritors of those blessings that God promised Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 speaks of the call of the man who was at that time Abram, who became Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, I read the first three verses. Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The elect call of Abraham is, first of all, get you out of your country. God calls us to be a separate people. And He called Abraham to separate himself. You know, the Bible tells us that Abraham came from a family of idolaters. Now, they, I believe, were the people that thought they were worshiping the true God, and yet they made those idols to represent Him and bowed down to them. God said, get away from all that. Follow me. Go to the place that I will lead you to. Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham was looking for a spiritual city, a place where he could worship God and have a relationship with Him. He dwelt in tabernacles, that is, he was a tent dweller. He didn't build a permanent house because he was going wherever God led him. So he had that tent so he could move when God said move. And God calls us to be followers of Him. He may not call us to go out physically to a different place, but I believe He's calling us to go out to a different spiritual place, a place where God is supreme and where God alone is worshipped. He goes on to talk about Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore spring there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands which are by the seashore innumerable. So God took an old man with a barren wife, and He said, you just be faithful to me, you trust me, and I'll make of you a great nation. And they, Sarah, Abraham, believed and trusted God, accounted him able to do what he had said to do, he would do. And in obedience, he fulfilled every bit of the promise that he made of him a great nation. It is to that kind of faith that Isaiah brings the message of comfort to God's people. To that faithful remnant, those that are seeking after righteousness, those that are seeking the Lord. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, and He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. There is a great need among God's people, and I've been privileged to visit among a number of different churches and see basically the same situation everywhere I go, that God's people have become content in the condition that we're in. I've visited congregations that it seems to me like they're just holding on, just waiting for the end to come. I've heard expressions like, I just hope the church will be here as long as I'm here, and then after I'm gone, it doesn't make much difference. The church needs the comfort of the Lord and the assurance of what God is able to do, that He is able to build their waste places, to make this wilderness like Eden and their desert places like the garden of the Lord, and restore back to His people joy and gladness, thanksgiving, the voice of melody, and the voice of praise. And God says, I can take one man, Abraham, and make a great nation, people innumerable. I'm able to do that. I'm able to take these little congregations scattered here and there and again restore the joy and praise and thanksgiving that God's people ought to know and ought to be in joy. In the book of Psalms, in the 102nd division, I want to read verses 8 through 18. Again, Psalm 102, and beginning at verse 8. The psalmist says, mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance to all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and for the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Prophecies like that, I believe, refer to the coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of His kingdom when the Lord restores joy to His people. But it is the day in which we live, the day which we ought to be enjoying those blessings right now. And we ought to be praising God in a more perfect way day by day. So, the words of the prophets is, listen to me. Listen to God's message. Hear what He's telling us in this day. In Isaiah chapter 51 again, and beginning at verse 9, I'll close with these last thoughts. Isaiah 51 and beginning at verse 9. The prophet says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, as in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the seas and the waters of the great deep, that made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that he hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if they were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread shall fail. But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. When the prophet speaks to the arm of the Lord, I believe that arm of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And he says, awake, awake, put it on thy strength, O Lord, awake, O arm of the Lord. And he talks about the deliverances of the past, his bringing people out of Egypt and bringing them through the waters of the Red Sea and across the waters of Jordan. We still serve the same God, that powerful God. And then the Lord answers in verse 12. He says, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. And who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that should die, and of the son of a man which shall be made as grass? The Lord is asking his people, who are you that you should be afraid? consider who we are. We're the children of the living God. We serve that arm of the Lord that is able. And we serve the God who has promised that He would comfort Zion, that He would restore all those waste places. But the question is, are we calling upon that arm of the Lord? Is it our prayer that the Lord would restore, that He would revive His people? Or have we become complacent and satisfied and at ease in Zion? How burdened are we for the condition of spiritual Zion today? How concerned are we about the church of the living God? Evidence shows that we're not very much concerned. I would challenge you, we have opportunity to listen to sermons. You can go online and go to a number of different Primitive Baptist churches and all kind of churches. Watch some of those sermons and see how many you hear that really seem to be concerned about the condition of Zion. See if there are not of them, a lot of them just kind of go along with the status quo. Just kind of keep God's people at ease. We need to be deeply concerned. We need to be calling on the Lord. But we need to be assured that He will comfort His people. But it's the people that are seeking Him and the people that seek after righteousness, not those who are at ease. So I pray that we be among that faithful remnant that's calling on the Lord and calling on Him to awake and put on His strength on behalf of His people for His name's honor and glory. May God bless us is my prayer for Christ's sake. We will, at this time, give an invitation for church membership. The church is ready to receive members as the gospel authorizes as we stand and sing.